Good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, April 29, 2022. Help yourself to the charcuterie and some port. It's time for some Coastal Windage. That's right, this is Coastal Windage, the talk of the Coastside's very own live call-in talk radio show airing every Friday, this Friday, and every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. on KHMB Radio 100.9 FM and Rockin' 1710 a.m. and streaming live on KHMBRadio.com. Coastside issues, hot topics, and you and me, Ruben Truthmaker, and you, Libby Streetwise.
Good morning.
That's my Tarzan introduction. Yeah. Me, Ruben, you, Libby.
You had me at charcuterie.
I know, right? I had to practice that for, like, literally, like, all night last night in front of the mirror. Shark attack, charcuterie, okay.
No, I know that word well, and I imbibe almost every night.
You seem like a charcuterie type of person. Definitely. And support. Or a regular wine.
More of a Sauvignon Blanc these days, actually.
Uh-huh. Right.
With a cube or two.
Uh-huh.
I'm going light. I'm getting old, man.
Uh-huh.
Old.
Got to slow down. The red is too thick and hearty. All right. Guess what? We're going to try to get to topics today. I don't make any promises, but let's
I wouldn't put that out there.
Yeah. Water crisis. We've been trying to get to this for weeks. I guess I was...
It hasn't gotten any better.
I will just say, I was waiting for like a sunny day when, you know, it would feel like there's a water crisis. Crime reporting, I think we have a little bit of an issue with that on the coast side right now. And we've got a live studio interview, our Shooting the Breeze, the new normal live studio interview today is with Colleen Henney of Jupiter in Maine.
I can't wait.
Right. One of
my favorite stores.
Go-to store, absolutely. Like definitely every holiday season, like a couple of trips through Jupiter in Maine of like, I'll take one of those.
Maybe for you. It's like a weekly trip for me.
Whoever does the procurement for that store does an awesome job because the stuff in there is amazing. If you have never been to Jupiter in Maine here on Main Street, check it out. Awesome store. Anyways, Colleen will be here to talk about the upcoming Half Moon Bay Wine and Jazz Fest in May. So, okay.
That'll be great.
Speaking of alcohol, hello.
Good segue.
Right. Half Moon Bay Brewing Company has alcohol.
In
their name and also on site, and they make it there because they're a brewing company. They have some great beers. And when you have great beers, you need to have something to wash that down.
And they have lots of good food there.
I lost my train of thought there. It didn't work. But what I'm saying is great food and beer to wash it down and some wine. And if you're into that, soft drinks, I guess. But it's a brewing company. So Half Moon Bay Brewing Company, our sponsor for many years. And let's just say kind of a sponsor of the community with all the good work and donations they make. Check them out. HalfMoonBayBrewingCo.com. It's Friday. Treat yourself right. Get some Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. Okay, treat yourself right. Give us a call on any of these topics today. Water crisis. How do you feel about increased water rates? What are you doing to save water? Are you worried about it? Okay. What do you feel about desalinization? Give us a call. 650-560-9851 or send an email to coastalwindage@gmail.com. Okay. Air quality report, traffic and weather always gets a meh from me because you can get that anywhere. But think about it. What live radio show have you listened to besides this one where you can get the air quality report? Okay, we get our info from purpleair.com. 0 to 50, incredible. 51 to 100, good. Over that, not so good. Today in El Granada, 32, right square in that.
Okay.
Excellent. 13 in Half Moon Bay. And then the rest of them are all in the 30s. 33 in Redwood City, 37 in Santa Cruz, up in San Anselmo, which is in Marin, 30. And even Turlock, is coming in at a 33 today.
Wow, so Half Moon Bay is rocking it.
It is.
13.
Nice and clear down here. That's where we are right now. We are live on Main Street doing a radio show. Okay, big news coming up next week. It's Coastside Gives, Thursday, May 5th. This is the big day of giving and receiving on the coast. If you go to coastsidegives.org, you'll see their countdown clock has already begun. They've got this fancy, like, doomsday countdown clock. I don't know if doomsday is the right word there, but celebratory countdown clock. This is a 24-hour online challenge. It's in its seventh year. This year, 59 local nonprofits are available for your charitable contributions. And
wow, that's a good number.
Right, and the idea of this one day, you think, like, are there even 59 nonprofits?
Well, there
on
must
the coast
be.
Side,
yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
At least 59.
And you're going to be on the radio, right?
I am. Every year I
they
join.
They roped you in?
Well, I mean.
Nice.
You got to kind of. It's more the opposite of, like, you know, general manager, station general manager Jim Henderson has to kind of, like, bar the door. Sees me coming, like, uh-oh, you know, bat down the hatches.
Oh, you're like please let me in. I want to do this.
Like a gym rat. I'm just always hanging around the microphone. Like, so, yes, I will be on the air next Thursday. KHNB always does a special Coastside Gives program with all kinds of our radio celebrities on. And, in addition to the radio celebrities, I'm also usually on the air, too, and I will be on the air from 10 to 12 next week from our studio, our sister studio in KYMM down in Kenyatta Cove, interviewing people, representatives of some of these nonprofits, hearing what their mission statements are, what they're trying to raise money for, and how it's going. Okay, so that's next week, May 5th, Thursday. Last year, the event raised $1.4 million, and this year's goal is $1.5 million, okay? You can donate online at coastsidegives.org or in person at New Leaf from 9 to 6 or the Garden Apothecary here on Main Street during Make It Main Street that afternoon.
Wonderful. Okay.
It's nice that it's kind of coinciding with Make It Main Street, which is kind of, you know, like a festive event here on Main Street, and Coastside Gives. That's next Thursday. All right. Let's see. For some breaking news. I don't know if this is breaking news, but I'm just going to call it breaking news, and therefore it is. We've heard from Coastside Mountain Bikers principal, we'll just call him the principal, the lead, Rick Barker, that construction on the pump track in Quarry Park, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, that's... I'm drumming. I'm drumming. I'm making the drumming motion like I'm doing a drum roll, and then like the brain was somewhere else, like do to do to do to do. That's not a drum roll. Okay.
I don't know.
Oh, Colleen's in trouble this morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Poor thing. She might want to reschedule.
Construction on the pump track to begin in Quarry Park on Monday.
That is great.
Right? I mean, I guess the cynic in me says I'll be standing there and I'll believe it when I see it happen. But Rick sent some pictures of some construction folks standing around the area, you know, looking like they're talking about it. So that's step one, is standing around talking about it. Step two, shovels. All right?
Oh, my God.
So
we'll see. I have to admit, I thought it was all done. I feel like we've been talking about this for a decade, and I really thought that... So it's a little... anticlimactic for me that they're beginning the process. I thought that it was done.
Well,
it had to be fine-tuned, maybe. But
no, it's 2.5 years to this point. So shovel about to go in ground after 2.5
well, what
years.
What have the kids been? So it's been a makeshift one, then,
well,
right?
Parks director Nicholas Calderon graciously left the rogue pump track, it's called.
Right.
Left that in place.
Right.
A couple of times they nominally tried to disrupt it. The county dragged some logs across, and of course, like 10 minutes later, they were dragged back off by folks who want to use it. I use it frequently. It's good to have. It's a nice little warm up, couple of laps. It's out of the way. It doesn't bother anybody.
So can that remain? Or is that going to be taken down with the new pump track?
I mean, my feeling would be like, why would you bother with it? Just leave it there.
Right.
Okay. We've got the fresh new one, which is awesome. And this is just a little ancillary one.
So, Rick, if you're listening, call in and let us know if we can keep the old makeshift one
off to
the side.
I think I heard that, you know, they want to get rid of it. Once the new one's in place, we'll get rid of the old one because we don't need it. Again, my feeling is just
leave it.
Just do what you've done the last 2.5 years and ignore it and pretend it's not there.
The blind eye.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's not hurting anybody, and it's very useful and enjoyable.
Okay.
So, you know that I love Coastside Boys and Girls Club.
Yes.
Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside.
I appreciate you calling it that and not the Big Pumpkin or...
No. That's the event center, a.k.a. the Lion's Den, the Big Pumpkin.
Isn't that the Boys and Girls Club
of the Coastside is out of like the they have now a clubhouse now over on Cunha off the soccer fields. They've got their clubhouse there.
Okay.
And then they sometimes use the Big Pumpkin for various activities.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But it's not, and they're joint management or something of it, but they it's not their facility solely.
Okay.
So
Yes,
Jill Jacobson, executive director, does an incredible job. I love the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside. Donate money, donate time. It just does wonderful things. So they have Boys and Girls Clubs all over the country.
Yes.
Unfortunately, they've got a chapter. These chapters operate independently. They've got a chapter in Pacifica that has a couple of really nice clubhouses.
Mm-hmm.
But they are having financial troubles, and so they were either going to have to close or find another chapter of Boys and Girls Club to partner with.
Mm.
So I guess, unfortunately for them, they reached out to the Boys and Girls Club of the Peninsula, you know, based mm-hmm. out of, like, Palo Alto on the other side of the hill. And the Boys and Girls Club of the Peninsula said, okay, we'll help out, but apparently every Boys and Girls Club chapter has kind of a different mission of, like, what we're going to focus on. Here mm-hmm. on the coast side, it's kind of after-school programs and
okay.
sports, okay? Apparently on the other side of the hill, the focus is on serving underrepresented communities that need maybe assistance with
mm-hmm.
Tutoring or
sure.
or food or a place to be.
Okay.
Okay, so that mission is not compatible with the mission at the Pacifica Clubhouse is existing right now, mm-hmm. which is kind of like just after school activities and a place for kids to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
So the Peninsula is more focused on helping out with specific need.
Right. Okay.
So the Peninsula chapter said, we'll take it over, but we're going to close these two clubhouses
oh.
in Pacifica because
oh.
they're not in line with what we're trying to do. And as you can imagine, parents and kids in Pacifica are pretty upset about
sure.
this. Of like, why do we need to close this? And so I'm worried about it, too, because I see the great things that
sure.
our Boys and Girls Club
That's
does.
Terrible.
And I would just say to all parties involved, like, I hope somebody has given Jill Jacobson a call, because I love what the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside has done the last few years since Jill's been
yeah.
running it. And not that the person before it didn't also do a great job, but Jill's obviously knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
So, and it's kind of a natural, it seems like a more natural fit, Pacifica and Half Moon Bay, as
are
opposed to
our missions aligned?
I think they're more aligned than the Peninsula's
okay.
mission.
I mean,
plus,
is that a hard and fast rule that, I mean, just because that's their mission there, they have to carry that mission over? Where's the flexibility?
Because we're talking about economies of scale and, like, what are you going to put your resources in? And you can't, you know, like, there's a limited amount of resources and we can't be doing the full spectrum of stuff. You have to kind of focus on a, you know, what is the main priority policy or mission.
The need of whatever community the facility is located in.
I don't think that seems like a no-brainer. I don't think individual chapters have the flexibility to do that. That's why you have individual chapters. Like,
mm-hmm.
okay, the Pacifica, that community has this need.
Yeah.
You know, the Peninsula communities have X need. Coastside has Y need. And I think you have to address those specific needs. So to me, that's another, we're both here on the Coastside.
Right.
You know, it seems like there's more synergy with the Coastside and Pacifica than
yeah.
there is with Pacifica and,
well, I hope
say,
they
Palo
figure
Alto.
It out, because that would be a great loss.
It would be, I think, devastating.
Yeah.
I think devastating. Okay. All right. District 3 Candidates Forum. Okay, we've had a few.
Lots of signs have gone up.
Right. Yes, right. So it's definitely time is coming. June 7th is the primary. Here in District 3, San Mateo County Board of Supervisors, District 3, which includes the Coastside, but also Woodside, Portola Valley, Menlo Park. I mean, we've got some heavy hitters in our district, but that seat is open. Supervisor Horsley is termed out, and so four candidates have emerged, and there's been a couple of forums already. Well, the MCC is sponsoring a District 3 Supervisor Candidates Forum next Wednesday, May 4th. It'll be moderated by the League of Women Voters. MCC and the League of Women Voters do a great service by doing these candidate forums. Sometimes it's the only time you ever get to see these candidates, mm-hmm. like for school board and stuff. So hats off to MCC and League of Women Voters. All four candidates will be participating in this event on May 4th.
Good.
And it's a very important event for Coastsiders to pay attention to. This is going to be our supervisor. People are always complaining, Supervisor Horsley doesn't do this, he doesn't care about this, which I disagree with, but that's an aside. This seat is open now. This is our most powerful, directly elected representative for us. Because we're, especially if you're on the mid-coast, because you're in the unincorporated county, you're part of the county, not the city. You don't have a city council to speak to or to look out for you. So this is important for Coastside. Unfortunately, this event is only virtual. It could be in person. No, they had an event at the library last week that was both virtual and in person. Mm-hmm. And in this day and age, right now, at this point in COVID, I think it's important to really be in the same room as these candidates. You can get it. You want to see body language. You want to see eye contact. You want, because we really need to get some. And I would say to people that are going to this candidates forum or are thinking about asking questions, you need to get some assurances, some commitments from these people. What are they going to do for us?
Yep.
And not let them get away with just kind of platitudes and general. I haven't picked a candidate. I don't know yet. I'm still listening.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Stephen Booker from the Coast Side. I'm partial to him because he's from the Coast Side. But it, you know, it's a strategic game of like who's going to be best and who can win. Mm-hmm. Can Stephen win? If he can win, I'm definitely voting for him. But I want to vote for him just from because he's from the Coast Side. But I don't know if that's a good enough reason. But let's just say I'm just taking Ray Mueller as one of the candidates. Like, his big thing is he's going to open an annex here on the Coast Side to, you know, so that Coastsiders don't have to go over the hill, you know, to meet with him or whatever. And I just say to Coastsiders, okay, but let's not be taken in by shiny objects. Okay, so he's going to open an office, an annex. How many days is he actually going to be here? And what will that annex office really do for you in your daily life in getting stuff done over here that couldn't be done by email or phone when you're just going to be talking to a staffer? Is he actually going to be there? He's going to say he's going to be there 2-3 days a week. I'm not sure I'm fully buying that. I'm not even sure I'm fully buying that an annex office would be opened up. So that's what I'm saying. Like, that, I'm not going after him. I just know that that's a campaign specific campaign pledge that he has made.
Right, and you have questions.
I would say to Coastsiders, like, you know, dig in on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get some commitments. You know, really ask questions. What are you going to do about this? And then look for a specific answer, not a general politician answer. Because people have specific things they want done over here that they've complained that Supervisor Horsley hasn't addressed. Well, this is your chance.
Mm-hmm.
Get your candidate. Make that candidate really address those issues. Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of open positions, I don't know if you have this as a topic, but you, of course, heard about Principal Nazar.
Yes, I did. That's kind of a blow. Your child, both of our children are graduating eighth grade this year, going to different high schools. Our plan is for our child to go to Half Moon Bay High.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like a feel like the rug just like, whoosh, you know, looking forward to.
So many people were looking forward to having him at the helm as their kids transition to high school, go to high school, and,
pretty much a hero of the Coast Side for sure. I mean, 7-year run at the high school, which he's kind of like reestablished or built up the reputation of the school. A lot of our kids are going to top flight universities out of the high school. I navigated COVID. I mean, that
it's
in itself,
been a super
right
hands on principal.
Just resurrected public confidence in the high school, I think, which is makes him a hero right there. 37 years as a teacher and administrator. He was a principal at Tierra Linda Intermediate School in San Carlos. But before that, so he did that before this gig. Before that, he worked as a social sciences teacher and administrator in the Cabrillo Unified School District. So no stranger to the coast. And
it's a great loss.
Yeah.
It's a great loss.
I love, so there's an article about him in the paper this week. I love some of his quotes because this is like a class act, and this is what a class act says.
Yeah.
He's kind of walking away on top, right? Like, there wasn't some scandal. He's not being forced out.
Right.
And these quotes, I'm leaving on my own terms. I feel good about what we've accomplished here. Right, leaving on your own terms. Like, I don't want to be the guy who is dragging through the last years. Yes, that's why you could keep collecting your paycheck and stuff, but it's kind of like, you know, a mic drop on when you're on top. You win a championship and you walk away of like, why drag it out? Yeah, you could keep going on, but
he should talk to Tom Brady.
Yeah, but
I mean, sorry, I'm just not to interject. Okay,
those are two goats for sure.
Yeah.
But I feel like Tom Brady, I mean, Principal Nazar could keep going at this level.
No,
I agree.
I think just Brady like Tom Brady. Take a lesson from Nazar.
I mean, if you feel like you can win a championship and you're, I don't know, like that's a slightly different question.
Time.
But I totally respect Principal Nazar for going out on top.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate for those of us who were looking forward to having him at the helm.
I feel a sense of unease going into this, you know, freshman year for our child at the high school without Principal Nazar there. You know, like
you're not alone. I mean, a lot of families are feeling that way. I have a number of friends whose kids are going to be going to the high school, and we're really looking forward to having him there. And I'm sure they're going to work very hard at selecting a terrific person or replacement, but it's just hard after 7 years. And
I mean, as you know, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Maybe we get somebody even better, but we've got an awesome bird here in this hand. Like it's just like or as my dad would say, a pig in a poke. Like, okay, we're gonna get somebody. Somebody will be principal next year.
That's a European vacation.
Oh, that game show at the beginning. Uh huh. All right, we've got some emails. I think a few of these are left over. I haven't been very good with the emails lately because
we've gotten a lot of them too.
I know there's a whole stack here, so I'm just grabbing. This one looks like it's a couple weeks old. Mind Mulch the Third.
Mind Mulch.
Oh, about the mini museum. My mini museum idea.
Oh yeah. Oh,
okay, here we go. The mini museum idea will never work. Oh. I just looked over the mic at Libby like, really? That's the one I pick up off the pile. Okay. The mini museum idea will never work because people on the coast side don't really support their own. Unless you are rich and... Okay, you know what? I'm going to do a Carson
on... blow.
You remember in Johnny Carson, he would like... He would sometimes have the like jokes and he would start... Part of his funny shtick was he'd start reading the joke and then just like
pop
throw it,
it
away. Like
yeah.
this one's, and that was
yeah.
hilarious. And it's, guess what? I just parsoned that one.
Yeah.
All right. That's kind of a serious downer of an email. We don't need that. Okay. Here's another one. Ray Rex Da King regarding Retire Earth Day. For what? Oh, okay. No, it just took a couple of tries. For once, I have to agree with Ruben. Can
there
we just
we
stop
go.
There? Okay,
yeah,
next email.
End on a high note.
For once, I have to agree with Ruben. Why are we bothering with the sham that is Earth Day? Nobody really cares. It's just a vestigial sentiment.
Oh,
that's
boy.
A tough word. It's just a vestigial sentiment left over from a brief, shining moment of legitimate 60s activism. Just something to spice up days on a calendar. Relegate it to the discount bin with Flag Day and Arbor Day. I mean, I don't think I ever said Earth Day was a sham, did I?
I don't think you did.
But
I think you were putting a few things into question.
Oh, yeah, like, is anything happening on Earth Day? I mean, like, it had a good origins, but now it does seem kind of like a Flag Day, Arbor Day thing. Like, it's on the calendar, but does anybody even do anything? Oh, wait, hold on. The city of Half Moon Bay sponsored an Earth Day essay contest for high school seniors. Let's dig into that. A $1,000 scholarship with the prompt question. Here's the question. What is California doing to reduce its short-lived climate pollutants, and why is it important to me and my community? 750-word maximum. The intro paragraph for me is 750 words. That's a meaty question, and it's a 750 words is one page.
Yeah.
So we want a one-page answer to this. Solve global climate change and, you know, sea level rise.
No one else has.
In 750 words or less. Okay. If we get a good answer on that, you know, elevate that kid.
Yeah.
The winners will be announced at the Half Moon Bay City Council meeting on June 7th.
Wow. Okay.
I contacted the city to find out how many essays they received. And per my rant about, I guess rant and my complaint that nobody cares about Earth Day.
Right.
$1,000 up for grabs here. How many kids?
Applicants or?
Well, but as of airtime, the city had not returned my call.
Oh, okay.
We don't know. All right, here's from listener Lady Night Soil. Ew. Oh, people love horse poop. I believe that it's kind of a fog, but I believe that there was a, like, 7-minute discussion of horse poop on last week's
show. Yes, there was. Actually, it kept going
17
on
minutes.
And on and on.
Kind of like horse poop.
Yeah.
It just kept dribbling out. Okay. So, subject line, people love horse poop. Here from Lady Nightsoil writes, what a delightful topic with which to start one's day. Keep it classy, Coastside.
Yeah.
Is that,
I have
you think
to
that
agree with Lady.
Is that sarcasm, you think?
Yeah, I think it's dripping in sarcasm.
Keep it classy, Coastside. Is that a movie quote? That's a, that Will Ferrell.
Keeping it classy.
Semi-pro? No. Anchorman. Anchorman. Didn't
keeping
he
it
keep
classy?
It classy, San Diego?
Oh, maybe
or,
so, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay, here's an email from listener... Fimus in Fimo. Okay. People love horse poop. Okay. I will be convinced that one is better or worse than the other when somebody presents hard data on basic... somebody presents hard data on basic properties of mucoadhesion and bioadhesion from a texture analyzer graph, as well as the respective olfactory perception thresholds as quantified by a dynamic dilution olfactometric analysis.
Wow.
Then we can begin the debate. Yeah, I think this third
think
person is overthinking
the,
it a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa.
Open up the dictionary. I don't know what half of that was.
I know. I'm kind of ruined for like the next 5 minutes because there
goodness
was about eight, you know, seven-syllable words in there that I don't even know what they mean. So hopefully I didn't insult anybody. Like, I don't know what those words mean, but we're just going to move on. Water crisis. All right. Oh, we're actually getting... Oh, well, we're expecting Colleen Henney in about 10 minutes.
Great.
So let's go to speed talking mode.
Okay.
Okay, water crisis. Anybody seen the latest pictures of Lake Powell?
It's scary.
Aye, aye, aye. So we went houseboating there in 2019, and the water was low. We actually grounded.
Oh my gosh.
But right now, the lake looks like the opening scenes of, from Planet of the Apes, which was shot there like as the lake was filling in the 60s. The levels are down to 25% of capacity. Not down 25%, down to 25% capacity. And there's concerns that there might not even be enough water to run the hydropower generators at Glen Canyon Dam. Meanwhile, over at Lake Mead, the largest man-made reservoir in the country, water levels are down so low that one of the lake's original intake valves has been exposed for the first time ever. This thing was built like when the dam was built in the late 30s and hadn't been used in like 20 or 30 or 40 years. The water's down so low that it's been exposed.
That's scary.
Lake Powell and Lake Mead support more than 40 million people in the West, and it's down to 25%. A study published in February found that the West is in its worst drought in centuries, 2000 to 2021, the driest period in the region in 1,200 years. Yikes.
It's scary, but I have to tell you, I'm not surprised.
Oh,
Per Earth Day
and the essay question, though,
yeah,
maybe the essay writers should be listening to the show. This study also noted that, quote, human-caused climate crisis has made the West's mega drought 72% worse.
Of course it has.
Oh. I mean, okay, so let's
is that a surprise?
I don't know.
No,
I don't know
it's
how
no
I don't know how you measure the 72%. Like, I don't know.
Oh, come on. We are our own worst enemy, and we're going to be responsible for the end of the human race.
Well,
it's going to be us. It's not going to be a meteor.
No, I agree.
It's, you know.
That is kind of the irony of humanity is that our own intelligence and ability to adapt and survive will be what is the end of us.
Yeah.
All right, let's get closer.
On that happier note.
All right. Yay. We got to talk about this water thing here. So let's get closer to home here. The April snowpack in the Sierra, key to how much water flows into local reservoirs, is 38% of average statewide, the sixth lowest April measurement in state history. This snowpack provides one-third of the California water supply, the Lake Mead and Lake Powell probably providing the other 66%. It's the driest first 3 months of the year in the Sierra in more than a century. February was California's second driest February ever. In SoCal, water agencies are limiting outdoor watering to once a week. says the general manager of the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California. This is a crisis. It's unprecedented. We have never done anything like this before. Well, that is a bit of an indictment right there. Really, in Southern California, you've never gone to the level of, like, limiting outdoor and watering to once a week? I mean,
yeah,
come on.
I don't know that I agree with that. It never rains down there.
That's weak.
Ever. Oh, I got the notice for twice a week. Did you get the notice?
I'm already...
So we're Tuesdays, Thursdays.
There's days?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
you
can only water from 5 p.m. to 8 a.m.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, if you're watering your lawn, you should only do it after dark.
I mean, we have a small lawn, but still.
I know,
yeah.
I know. Okay, so let's see. We talked about, so Coastside County Water District, the local water company, was talking about what they were going to do about this water crisis and whether they're going to raise rates or go to, like, DEFCON 4. They had some, like, you know, seven stages of drought emergency or something. Well, we're in stage two, water shortage emergency warning, intended to reduce water sales by 17%. They're asking customers not to exceed 50 gallons per person per day, which is a good number, but it's like, I don't have a water meter on my tap. I don't know how many gallons I'm using a day. I mean, how do you know that? How many gallons does a shower take?
Well, I don't think you do, but
how many gallons does a shower take?
Well, it takes a lot more, actually, than apparently a bath.
But, well, yeah, for sure. Baths should be out. Nobody should be bathing.
But I take military showers. Yeah. Man, I'm in and out. I think I haven't timed it exactly, but I'm usually in and out by the end of a song. Uh-huh. So what is that, 3 minutes?
Well, it depends on the song. If it's
right. It's not Stairway to Heaven.
In a Gata Vida, you're in there for like 22 minutes. It's just one song.
It's just one song. So figure three and a half minutes max.
Right. We have a bucket in our shower, and so when we're, like, warming the water up, all the water goes in the bucket,
That's
and it goes
good.
Out on the lawn, right?
Good.
So, okay, I mean, do what you can, right? Be smart about it.
We are such stellar citizens.
right. Don't look too
Not,
closely.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. So, some restrictions. CCWD customers can use water to clean streets. No, you cannot use water to clean streets. Sidewalks, buildings, patios, or construction sites cannot use a hose without a shutoff nozzle. Cannot use more than incidental runoff onto, cannot cause more than just incidental runoff onto adjacent properties, walkways, roadways, parking lots, or structures. Financial penalties will only be used for repeated violations. The focus, as it should be, for at least in this stage, is on education and outreach. In 2020, CCWD consumed 667 million gallons of water. But, okay, so 667 is what we used last year. They're only expecting to have to use 575 million gallons this year. So that's almost 100 million gallons less that will be available. So I don't know, like, come November, it could be pretty dry around here. Like, if they run out of water, what?
We're supposed to be getting some rain next week, aren't we? The news...
Does it really even... Some rain?
Yeah, I know. It won't make any
unless
difference.
It rains,
what am I talking about?
Every day for the rest of the year. I mean, this is a 1,200-year drought. Like, that... Growing up in Southern California, we had water restrictions. Sometimes not. In college, I remember there was water restrictions. But I grew up on a rural property with a well, so we had, quote-unquote, free water, unlimited.
Yeah.
But... You gotta take measures, okay? And you have to take it on yourself to take these measures because we're just...
Can I ask you something? Now, I don't know if this is totally sci-fi stuff or if it's actually happened, but can't we plant, like, what is it, like rain seeds or something? Or you throw them up into the cloud and then it makes it rain, right?
Okay.
So
we've got...
I know, we want to get to our guests.
Right.
We could talk about
Colleen,
this forever.
Colleen is here, and I know that you have been, like, pretty much jumping around in your chair all morning to get to talk to Colleen.
I have.
So we're gonna stop.
Okay.
Right, but I just want to add, because we'll come back to this next week, because whether it's cloud seeding or desalinization,
yes,
which is coming online in various coastal towns in California, you're talking about really starting to get in and mess with the natural order and the law of unintended consequences.
We haven't already done that.
Never fails. So yeah, we will talk about that next week.
All right.
The dangers of desal and cloud seeding. Okay. And also next week, we will talk about crime reporting issues. We've had several shocking incidents here on the coast side, including an attempted murder stabbing and a couple of violent assaults in Fitzgerald Marine Reserve that have only kind of bubbled up to public consciousness through weeks after the fact and through Nextdoor and other things, people saying, well, how come I haven't heard anything about this? Separate from the details of the incidents themselves, I think we have an issue here of, like, how do we get our news in a timely fashion, especially when it regards public safety issues like multiple assaults in Fitzgerald Marine Reserve. So, how, you know, other than the once-a-week paper and unreliable citizen journalism in Nextdoor, how are we being notified of incidents like this? Okay, that's something we need to talk about, but let's just set aside the end of the world and violent crime.
Talk about good things.
And talk about what, you know, things that we love here on the coast side, like Jupiter and Maine, right?
Jupiter and Maine,
absolutely.
Wine, cheese, jazz, and all that good stuff.
And good folk. And speaking of good folk, we have with us right now Colleen Henney, who you're the owner of Jupiter and Maine, right?
Yes.
Do you do the procurement of the goods there?
Yes, I do.
Wow. Well, knocking it out of the park there. We love the stuff. Anyway, Colleen is here to chat with us about the upcoming inaugural. I had to look that up. That means the first one.
Well done.
Half Moon Bay Wine and Jazz Fest. Dun, 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 dun. Good morning, Colleen.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
Oh, thank you for coming in. Okay, so the big Wine and Cheese Fest, Sunday, May 15th, noon to 4 on Main Street. This is the inaugural event. How did this all come about?
A few of us on the board of the Downtown Association decided it would just be good fun.
Okay. Over some wine, you're like, oh, let's see, how can we...
Why don't we have a wine and jazz festival like Monterey has this amazing 50 years coming up on a jazz festival there. We could totally rival Monterey's jazz festival.
Sure.
Right?
Okay, so...
We're adding wine, though, so...
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, right. So how come we haven't had one yet?
I don't know.
Right,
it's
okay.
It's a conundrum, especially, you know, the big fall event is the Pumpkin Festival.
Right.
So what's going on in the spring?
Right.
Did we used to do the, Rock the Block in the spring when that happened?
Rock the Dock? Was it Rock the Dock?
Was it the summer?
Maybe. I don't know. But I do remember having bands. And I think it was more like bands and beer. And now it seems we're getting a little more...
This was on Main Street?
Yeah, it was on Main Street.
Because I have a poster at home, Rock the Dock, which was like some similar type of thing, but it was at Pillar Point Harbor. These are separate.
Okay. Yeah, well, separate. Anyhow, I was just wondering what time of year we had done that. I think you're right, though, with the summer. I think it was June.
Because it was an evening event, wasn't it?
Not that I recall.
Late afternoon and into the evening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If anybody knows, if any Half Moon Bay Coastside historians are listening, 650-560-9851. If you have a question for Colleen
Kelly Hoffman would know.
Kelly Hoffman. Hey, Kelly, if you're listening, and I know you are. Okay. Speaking of music, I was doing some research on this inaugural event, and I saw that this event honors the legacy and memory of former Coastsider Bobby Hutcherson, who was a jazz player. Are there going to be musical acts here? How did this come to be a tribute to Bobby? Was he into wine and cheese, or just, you know, people like his music?
He was a longtime Coastsider and considered the world's best vibraphonist. People have lauded him as the world's best, and well known on the coast side. He played at the Bach a lot. Mm-hmm. He's a world famous musician. He raised his kids here. Shelly, that works at my store, went to school with his son, Teddy. And so it was just like one thing led to another through that connection. Teddy Hutcherson hooked us up. He works at SF Jazz, and he, kind of hooked us up with our music production person, Cecilia Engelhart, who is managing all the music. Paula West we were going to have originally. We were going to do this in 2020 and shut down. We had the event mostly planned, and COVID happened, so we had to shut it all down. Paula West was always going to be our headliner. She's a I've known her for years. I've gone to see her. I enjoy her music. She's a San Francisco cabaret-style singer. And so she hooked us up with Marcus Shelby, who is a world-class upright bass player and musician. He studied under Charlie Hayden, who is one of my favorite bass players of all time. And so that's, I'm just super excited. And then Bobby Hutcherson's oldest son, Barry Hutcherson, has a band called the Bobby Hutcherson Tribute Band. And I'm embarrassed to say I don't really remember, but I think there are some of the band members that played with Bobby.
And are they going to be playing at this event?
They're opening, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so we're going to have the high school jazz band is going to play from 11:30 to noon. So they're super excited about that. They've been practicing. And then Barry Hutcherson will come on at noon with the Bobby Hutcherson Tribute Band. And then Marcus Shelby Quintet and then Paula West will close out the event.
Fantastic.
So sketch this out for me. Are there going to be blocks of Main Street that are closed off?
Yes. So we're closing Main Street from Mill to Correas, and we're closing Miramontes between Johnson and Purisima, and we're closing Kelly from Johnson to Purisima. So the stage will be on Kelly by City Hall. We'll have stadium seating there for ticket holders.
Describe this ticket.
So it's It is a little weird because, and we kind of went around and around and around on this, but you pay the $75 to get in. The $75 buys you a wristband with 15 tasting tickets for wine, and it allows you to sit in the seating in front of the stage. We are, if you imagine like pumpkin festival style tents with all the wineries, we have over 40 wineries.
Whoa. Really?
Okay, so yeah, tents lining
that's
the street.
That's amazing.
Like
amazing.
Pumpkin festival, but they're wineries. Oh, Libby, you're in trouble, Libby. You are in trouble.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And then, so that's what the $75 buys you. It buys you the ability to taste the wine, buy the wine that you taste. We're going to have an off-sale wine booth. There's all kinds of rules. The ABC has very strict rules about what we can sell and when, who can pour. It's been a process getting through all that. But then we're going to have a beer garden. We have five breweries and a cidery coming.
Any local folks?
Yeah, so Hop Dogma is going to be there, and Sacrilege Brewing is going to be there. Pacifica,
Blue Ocean
is coming.
Okay. Which is a new one in Princeton.
Yeah.
So we're excited about that.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Okay, what? I mean, we've got kind of a celebrity over here and travels in celebrity style.
You're hilarious.
I'll be able to rub shoulders with the, you know, with the people, but what kind of VIP opportunities are there for the I mean, she can't be down there with regular people. She'll just be swamped with, you know, fans and autograph seekers and stuff.
Very tongue-in-cheek, Ruben.
What kind of VIP opportunities are there?
So we have an amazing VIP experience just for you.
There you go.
It's Italia. We are buying out the It's Italia restaurant in Courtyard, and we are removing a fair amount of their furniture and bringing in swanky lounge furniture.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
I see.
Brilliant idea.
Right?
That's brilliant.
We have David Oliphant, who is the director of operations of this event.
Wow.
And he has run the VIP lounge at the Super Bowl for the last 3 years.
Yeah,
wow.
David, with the Ocean Vault art gallery that they opened a couple of weeks ago, I mean, David knows how to run a class.
Wow,
program,
that's amazing. So. I can't even just aesthetically, I can't wait to see the inside.
It's gonna be amazing,
Wow.
So It's Italia is doing all the food. We're calling it a bubble lounge. That's the only place you'll be able to to taste champagne.
Oh, nice.
We have champagne producers inside the Bubble Lounge, as well as wine, beer, cocktails, and soft drinks, sparkling water, desserts.
Any charcuterie?
Charcuterie.
He started off the whole show talking about charcuterie and port.
I said,
you had me at charcuterie.
I was calling it shark cutlery for two days before.
I was able to weed through that and knew exactly what he meant because that's my lifeblood.
Right.
But anyhow, I digress. Sorry. Yes. So that sounds wonderful. So how much are those tickets?
$225.
Okay.
And that includes entrance to the main event.
Okay. Do you accept Turkish lira?
We do not.
That would be 2 million Turkish lira.
Yeah. No okay. rubles either.
No rubles. Okay. Fair enough. But it opens at 11:30, and so that's a little bit of a benefit. You get to get in early, have something to eat, relax, and then you have access to that all day long.
Awesome.
Okay, so some really important questions here. I was looking over the list of wineries, and so it seems like, are they all California wineries?
All California
okay,
wineries.
Okay, so we don't have any of these Columbia Valley, Australian stuff. Okay, and seem like smaller growers. I didn't see my favorites, Fetzer, Gallo, or Sutter Home in there. No Lindemans. No?
No.
No, no Andre?
Yeah, only apparently.
Did anyone ever drink Andre in college?
Like cold
Andre,
duck?
It was.
What is cold duck?
At the time, $1.50.
Oh.
I think it's up to $3.50 now.
Martini and Rossi, the Aussie,
Martini and Rossi, Aussie Spumante, right?
Yeah.
Nobody knows. It's like I'm getting Prince Machiavelli perfume and Martini and Rossi, Aussie Spumante serving at my holiday dinner. Okay,
that's circa funny. 1980.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. But we're not having any of that here. So it seems like really like a.
Boutique.
A cultured boutique list of wineries. Like,
a game.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oh, like the kind of wines that when I go to New Leaf, I'm like, oh, they're up there. I need those ones down there, but I would like to have those. So this could be a dangerous event in a good way, but also like what?
I think what, $75 is a really good price.
Yeah.
You have 40 wineries.
There will be over 100 wines.
Wow. So I think that's amazing. That's well done.
You know what? We should have talked with Julie Mell. They should be showing like sideways or something, you know, like
I actually thought about that, but then I was like, is that offensive to the wineries? What do they think of that movie? I don't know.
Hopefully there would be, you know, they would like it in that it's about wine and wineries in California, right? I mean, it's a comedy, so let's just take it.
There are a couple of Hallmark movies that take place in California vineyards.
Hallmark
movies? I watch Hallmark 24/7. It's the only thing that keeps my spirits up on TV these days. I can't watch news.
Okay, so what... That sounds like a lot of fun, but that's kind of a day of drinking. So what security measures are in place to make sure that people don't, you know, spend their day drinking and then get in their car and drive over the hill to drive home? You know, like, will there be...
Sheriffs at every entrance,
yes.
For example?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how this goes. I mean, it seems like a great thing until it's time to leave, you know?
Right. Well, you know, we have to just, like Pumpkin Festival, mm-hmm. imagine that people are going to be responsible and... we do have a full, we have two food areas. So, you know, we have food trucks and pizza and Sam's will be theirs and we'll have waters.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It's going to be sort of, the interesting thing about this is that it's going to have, we'll have tables and chairs throughout the entire street for people just to chill out, hang out, rest for a little bit, drink some water.
Yeah.
I mean, I really feel like this can't be sold. It's almost being undersold of like, we've got the... Go and check out the list of wineries. Like, just the list itself...
is impressive,
It's an impressive list of a lot and, like, some really, like you were saying, boutique, like, wow. You know, the wine... Just looking at the wineries, like, my mouth is kind of watering. Of like, this is going to be some good wine. But underselling it in that you've got the beer garden with the breweries that we just mentioned, which are local favorites. Then just, she kind of, Colleen, you kind of glossed over the food there of like, I might just come just for the food. So Half Moon Bay Wine and Cheese will be providing Breakwater Barbecue, you know, put anything in front of barbecue. Alabrijes Waxahkan Kitchen. I love Waxahkan food. Sam's Chowder House, you know, and then a pizza pie providing pizza. So,
great.
I mean,
they
even
have pizza and pie.
Pizza
which
and
I
pie.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, I thought it was pizza
that
pie.
They are very well known for their pie. So
wow.
All kinds of pie.
Okay.
See, this is
going to dessert.
This is going to confuse East Coasters like you though, because
yeah,
it's a pizza pie, right?
A pie
means a pizza, right?
I know.
Okay.
Well, and then, I mean, this is like my Christmas. So we have wine, we have cheese,
right.
We have charcuterie,
right.
And we have shopping. And
yes.
So, how have you? Because I practically see you every week because I love your store so much. But I'd imagine, like, how is inventory going? You're going to have heavy traffic. Like, have all the cargo shipments come in when you wanted them to?
Supply chain disruption.
Yeah, that's an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like it's going to get better. But we're kind of excited because we are launching our custom branded line of organic cotton wear.
Nice.
Wow.
And so.
So Jupiter and Maine branded.
Mm-hmm,
oh wow.
All made in Los Angeles, sewn.
Wow.
Sourced, dyed.
Jeez.
All
wow.
Organic cotton T-shirts and sweatshirts. So we'll have that.
That's
guy.
That's next level,
on site.
Colleen. Like that is awesome. That is fantastic. Because
yeah.
I was just telling Ruben about how I also love that you carry Filson.
Yeah. It's the Filson guy that started his own company. Not
really.
Our Filson rep, I should be clear. Yeah. He started his own company in LA, and he's a super cool guy. I think he's going to be on site that day.
That, I mean, seriously, like I said, Christmas. Christmas for me. I am so excited.
Well, this is one of the shops where, like, every time I walk by there, walk by the window, which happens to be just right in the same building that we're recording from, or not recording, that we are broadcasting from right now, I can't look away. Like, the way things are, even the script of the name on the front, like, to me, it evokes, like, kind of a, you know, I like antique and vintage stuff. It evokes that kind of feeling. And then you go inside and the way things are placed on the tables and put
around. The merchandising is absolutely on point.
So my thing of quality is like heft, like has a lot to do with it. And you see stuff like, I don't want to, you know, go after, but like Wayfair, okay, like that site, right? It looks great, you know, in the two-dimensional. And then you get it home and it's like, cheap press board and stuff, or it just feels light and cheap. Literally everything I go and I like just going.
That's good
I'm sorry
weight.
To say this,
weight.
But I like going and just picking up stuff in Jupiter and Maine because every single thing is like, oh.
Even the paper.
Oh my
Even
God.
The paper when you walk in the door immediately to your right, where you have like the special pencils and the special paper clips.
Different size notebooks. And
I love it all.
Well, I'm a graphic designer by trade, and I went to art school, so.
Aesthetically,
I am a paper nerd. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
like really nice notebooks and fountain pens.
Yes.
I mean, I am just a nerd about that stuff. So
I
couldn't leave it off.
It's very appreciated because I also love the way, to Ruben's point, not only your design for your store name, but even during different holidays or whatever, like how you put other designs also on it. It just stands out. It really stands out, and it's just lovely.
Well, and that guy is a co-sider that does all that. We kind of got the Downtown Association together and hired him to do all the windows.
Wow.
Who is this person?
Oh, God, don't make me remember.
Sorry, Colleen. That's okay. You can put the Rolodex away. That's okay. It's interesting. She just pulled out like a real Rolodex out of her purse there.
Well, I also want to give a shout out. It's your husband that does the photographs.
Yes.
I mean, the photographs, so talented and beautiful. And we finally finished our two bathrooms. And I'm due to come in to get a couple of, because I particularly love the ones that are mounted on, not aluminum, but steel.
Mm-hmm.
I love I love those in particular, but they're all just so special and breathtaking, the shots that he has made. All, well, not all, but I can especially pick out the local ones. You know, there's that's, is it sepia or sepia? I never,
sepia.
Sepia, with the foghorn.
Shetty mist.
Yes. I love it.
Sepia and R2-D2.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, speaking of what you're saying, so this is the seems like about half a wine and cheese festival. What's kind of the promotion around it? Because this is the inaugural event, and of course we want it to become as big as, you know, Monterey Pop or Monterey Jazz Festival. What kind of promotion's being done? Will there be photographs taken? Like, what kind of after event publicity will there be? Are you pounding this out on social media? Like, what's your media strategy on
that? Yeah, so we have social media people, running ads, and we've done 2 press releases. We'll probably do a third. We have put this out on all the channels, and we're being picked up by small little publications here and there, all up and down the coastside. And yes, we hope it will become a yearly event. And you know, all the hard work is being done now, which is excruciatingly hard to open a new event on in this town. And especially since, you know, the Gilroy incident,
all
of the codes have changed, and they're making us come up with safety plans, which are, you know, well-intentioned. So once we've done this once, you know, we're hoping next year and the year after it's going to be more and better. We'll have bigger wineries coming on board once they hear of us. We kind of have to, you know, get our little toe in the door and prove ourselves.
Right.
And then it will just get bigger from there. We can do a 2-day event next time. We can have multiple stages.
Sure.
So let's talk money on this thing. All right. So... In ballpark figure, like what I noticed that there's a page on your site for, you know, asking for volunteers and stuff. I'm sure there's some paid employees of this venture, but what do you budget for this event? You know, are we talking millions, hundreds of thousands?
No, it's not millions. I mean, a gross budget would be about $150,000.
Wow, that's pretty good. I mean, that's really doing a lot with not that much money.
Yeah.
Do you anticipate breaking even or making money on this
venture? Sure hope people will buy a ticket. Let's just say that.
Right.
Yeah. And on that note, can they buy tickets coming
the day of? Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be online.
I think that, you know, some of our sponsors and, you know, Julie Shankman, who is the world's best marketing person.
Right. Sam's chowder.
Saying, you know, you really, really need to pound it hard that this is a ticketed event. It's obviously we're closing the street. It's public property. We're not, you know, you can come in for free and walk around, but you can't taste wine and you can't sit in the, but so just to make that understood that this is a ticketed event.
Sure.
We're expecting a ton of people to show up on the day of.
How many people are you expecting or planning for?
Yeah, I think we'll probably save 1,000 tickets for the day of.
How many people totally you think will be there?
We can only sell 4,000 tickets this year. Oh. And that has to do with, it's like a scale where there's a finite number of tastes of wine that these wineries are bringing, given the number of wines we were able to get wineries.
Yeah.
Next year, we'll have 100 wineries maybe, and then we can have 10,000 people.
Sure.
Right.
But it's all a balancing act, and there's only so much wine on the street to be drunk.
we had to get the word drunk in there. I noticed she was looking at me when she said, not at you, but at me. Okay, last thing here. Somehow 20 minutes went by in like 20 seconds.
A flash, yeah.
But let's get to an important part of this. So when I was asking about the money stuff, hopefully you'll break even and maybe make some more money for next year's coffers. But part of this is not only a tribute to Bobby Hutcherson, but it's also a fundraising event, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what monies will be going where as a result of this?
Yeah, so because this is a jazz festival and we love jazz, we are giving $5,000 scholarships away at the high school for students of the arts, including art and music, in Bobby Hutcherson's name, as well as $10,000 in cash donations to the school's music departments because they're grossly underfunded. And there are kids that are talented that can't afford to buy an instrument, which is like the worst tragedy.
So. Wow, that is amazing that you guys are doing that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay,
that
so.
That is terrific.
Coastsiders.
Buy your
ticket. Buy a ticket and go so that they will at least break even, make the money, be able to give $5,000 scholarships. That is significant. I mean, to get high school senior to get a five, especially for the arts.
Yeah.
I mean,
can I just say you buy your tickets at hmbwineandjazzfest.com.
Perfect.
Excellent. Okay. And but also day of, there's a thousand, there's only 1,000 on day of, so buy them now online.
And they can start if they were to appear day of 11:30, they can get the ticket, or is it 12 o'clock official?
Well, the wineries per the ABC are not allowed to start pouring wine until noon.
Okay.
So. Okay.
Okay, got it.
May 15th, noon to 4, Main Street, the inaugural Half Moon Bay Wine and Jazz Fest 2022. Colleen Henney,
thank you so much.
Jupiter and Maine. Let's throw in Jupiter and Maine.
Yay.
Colleen Henney, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Coming in. I know you had a busy morning this morning.
Yeah.
We really appreciate your time and good luck on this
thank
event.
Thank you so much.
I'm looking forward to year two already.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know the Coastsiders are looking forward to next week's show, in which we will talk. I want to get back to this water thing. We're going to talk about, Colleen brought up cloud seeding. And desalinization. Oh, all right, it was Libby. Okay. I'm trying to, butter up our guest so that
I
she'll come back again.
Here, finally.
Yeah, okay. And also the crime reporting, kind of, whether that's happening in real time and enough or not. But in the meantime, go and buy your tickets to Half Moon Bay Wine and Jazz Fest 2022 and set your dial for 9 a.m. and your dial for 1710 or 100.9 FM. This has been Coastal Windage, Ruben and Libby. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.